Monday means we speak to the general manager. He's also the editor of Media Week in Australia. Lots to talk about, especially with this AFL deal just around the corner. How does that play out? They think there's going to be an announcement after the competition proper. That'll be on this Sunday, and a little bit of news around as well. Trent is on the line. G'day, Trent.
Hey, Jimmy. How's it going?
Yeah, really well, mate. Always interesting across a couple of broadcast partners, but most notably with the AFL, you know, arguably the biggest code in Australia. How close are we to this finalisation of the deal? And I know we've spoken about it a little bit. How confident are you that the incumbents, Foxtel and Seven, will be broadcasting AFL after 2024?
Well, I was with Channel 7 at the Swans and Collingwood game yesterday. Nothing was said, but it felt like a fairly positive vibe with a look to the future of the AFL. That confirms nothing, but what you're referring to is a report from the Australian overnight. It went quite in-depth for where negotiations reportedly stand. Like you said, when season proper ends, they're hoping to have a decision. Looks like Seven and Foxtel are in the box seat with Nine and Stan and Paramount and /10 kind of falling behind. So unless something changes, it looks like it'll be Foxtel and Seven. They could get to the magic 600 million mark, but I think a lot of that will involve contra, so you know, free ads and stuff, so not necessarily cold hard cash, but still looking like it'll be a huge deal for the AFL, whoever ends up swinging it with them. I think one thing we might see change is reportedly Foxtel's keen to pick up a large chunk of the tab in their deal with Seven, but it might mean their deal looking a lot similar to what they have with the NRL and Channel 9, which is exclusivity on Saturday nights, so they can do a Super Saturday of the AFL. And the AFL, we might also see Thursday nights in Sydney pop up more.
Yeah.
In the next deal with them keen to go head-to-head with the NRL.
Yeah. I've always found that really interesting too, because I reckon you can get away with, in a household, hey, I want to watch the footy. But if there's one game on free-to-air, then the idea of getting Foxtel or KO might be a little bit challenging. But if you've got a Saturday where there is no footy on free-to-air, then you can easily get that one past whoever is maintaining the purse strings in the household. I find the Sydney one really interesting, Trent, because we had, and you were lucky enough to be there, I'm sure behind the glass, but anyway, separate issue, the sellout of the SCG for the Swans versus Collingwood. But if they broadcast that live on free-to-air telly, there would have been not many more watching it that were in the actual stadium. How prepared are the AFL? Like, what do they need to do to... Because let's face it, Sydney's Australia's biggest market, and they need to have more of a broadcast presence in this market.
Well, it's hard. Could you really be doing much more than they've been doing? AFL, as much as I'm an NRL person deep down, the NRL are AFL are incredibly smooth operators. GWS took some time to take off, and they still don't have the brand recognition of the Swans, but they generally have two strong teams in the market, which means in theory, if you go the Brisbane Broncos route, you can basically have a Sydney game every Thursday night, if you so choose, between the two teams.
Yeah.
So it's that consistency might play in on it. Like you said, it was a full stadium. The atmosphere was fantastic, but it's always a tall ask, broadcaster-wise, breaking into rugby league town, also known as Sydney. So, but I think Seven are the ones pushing that Saturday, wanting to have something on the Thursday to compete with how dominant Channel 9 is in that market on a Thursday night. I think that even at the moment, there's no real alternatives. So I guess the first step is at least producing an alternative and see if you can sell that to the masses. Although it feels like, I was saying at the Swans game yesterday, it feels like all the type of people that used to follow rugby union are now talking about AFL.
Yeah.
So AFL is definitely a growing sport. A lot of the higher-ups and yuck-yucks and all that seem to be big AFL fans these days. So there's I feel like there's a growing market for it. How much that market can grow, we'll find out.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because every rugby union fan has a rugby league team. but they may not go live and support it, which is what you're talking about yesterday at the SCG. Just on the complexities around assessing what offer from what streaming service or broadcaster, free-to-air or otherwise, is creating the most value for it. There's a great deal of expertise associated with that, Trent. Does the AFL seek outside counsel on that? I know the NRL did when they did a previous deal.
They might, but they're not advertising it. This is very much the, you know, Gillian McLaughlin farewell tour.
Yeah.
He wants his name and his fingerprints all over this. So it's very much getting driven from AFL HQ. Like, they might have some number crunches or outside accounting firms assessing value or some extra set of hands, but it's definitely getting driven, I believe, from inside HQ.
Yeah, okay. Hey, Foxtel have made some comment on the anti-siphoning laws. What was your take on that?
Yeah, it was interesting. Patrick Delaney came out, CEO, and he officially foo-fooed some of the comments coming out of the free-to-air broadcasters about the needs to strengthen and redesign those laws. Part of the argument was based on his willingness to show things for free on KO freebies. So I think that will be an interesting battleground there if Foxtel's plan to counteract a lot of this free-to-air stuff and go their own is doing stuff for free on KO, then that could be a pathway forward for them. Because, like, we were talking about the AFL deal where Seven is chipping in to get the free-to-air games, but Foxtel's taking majority of the bill. This next time the deal is up, Foxtel might be trying to get themselves in a position that they can just take all of it,
yeah,
put the free games on the KO freebies,
yeah,
and then put the rest behind a paywall and then do it all themselves. If they're already footing a majority of the bill, they might not see that much of a difference from adding an extra. Well, still would be a sizable amount of money, but then they'd have the whole kit and caboodle themselves and can pick and choose what's free, what's behind the paywall, what days they're on. So I think it'll be the anti-siphoning laws, I think, is probably one of the most important things in sport that nobody's talking about besides us.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And they broadcast every game anyway, so there's no additional cost in broadcasting those games, certainly from an NRL point.
Yeah, just be the exclusivity
charge,
but from a camera and everything point of view, production, it would make sense if that's where they're looking to go eventually.
Yeah. No doubt. Hey, mate, I want to ask you a hypothetical. Congratulations. You've just been made in charge of LIV Golf broadcast. So well done to you on that. How do you best maximise your revenues? We hear about all these amazing deals that are being offered to these golfers. If you're LIV Golf and you go, right, now we've got all the golfers, or some of them, we've got the tournaments, how do we maximise our broadcast revenue? How would you go about it, newly appointed CEO Trent Thomas?
Well, I think you would look at the Major League Soccer deal with Apple as your base, right?
Yeah.
A 9-year big money deal, exclusive all over the world on the one platform.
Yep.
You could look at the other reference point that I would use, we've talked about this previously, the IPL.
Yep.
You just put it to a digital auction and the IPL money was just outrageous. I think you're seeing pathways and you're seeing examples of how sports have monetized their TV rights in a world where you've got so much competition now to buy them. Before, you'd have maybe one person bidding against themselves or one or two broadcasters, 9 or 7. Now you've got all these streamers, you've got domestic channels, you've got kind of your hybrids. So there's a lot of competition. And LIV Golf, I think, has shown with a very modern approach to a very traditional sport, a willingness to think outside of the box and a willingness to try to make it a bit more consumable.
Yeah.
I think LIV Golf in some ways is kind of the IPL of golf.
Yeah.
So I think you take that and it might be a better TV product. Who knows what you can do with it. A first step, if I was running LIV Golf, though, would be to do a short-term deal, because you don't know what it's going to grow into.
Yeah.
Like Major League Soccer kind of, because, you know, they've been around for a while, they have a projection of what their revenue and what their viewership is, and they kind of have probably an idea internally what their ceiling, what their floor is. So a 9-year deal makes sense.
Yeah.
We have no idea what this product is. you could potentially undersell.
Yeah.
If you take a long-term deal. So I think we'll probably see a toe-dip deal between someone like someone that's not afraid of the political consequences coming in and giving them maybe a 2 to 3 year deal, and it could be sizable depending on the talent. I think one of the reasons we haven't seen a TV deal, a global one yet, has been they're expecting more talent to sign.
Yep.
And until you've got your full menu of talent, you don't want to, once again, undercut yourself on a deal.
Yeah.
So I think once they feel like they've signed all the big names that they're going to sign, then they'll lock in a deal somewhere. And then it comes down to if they have to take a discount due to all the political unrest surrounding their sport.
Yep, yep. No, wow, one day in and you're making a great impression already, Trent. Congratulations on that. Look, I know you're off to exercise. I don't want to hold you up with that, so I'll let you get stuck into that. Great to chat today, mate, and we'll do it again next Monday.
Thanks, Jimmy. If nothing beats a pre-workout, talking to you gets me real fired up.
I'm sure. Thanks, Trent.
Thank you.